To the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show. And today is a show you will not want to miss. I have finally got an overview of our corrupt court system. And it's just amazing. This stuff has been sitting there glaring, looking me right in the eye. I have done a very in-depth research of the Federal Register Act and of the Administrative Procedures Act. I got a little more to finish up with it, reading everything very, very carefully. And with the knowledge that I have, because it just keeps gaining. And why am I hearing noise here? Anyways, just can't make this stuff up. I did find out, thank goodness to AOC, I can thank her. I grew up on the farm, and due to the bovine flatulation, now I know why I have a hearing problem. Boy, I tell you, when you're around a bunch of cattle and they're all farting, man, I'm telling you, I needed an ear protection. Think this is how crazy the world's become. Just and literally, there is no doubt they are out totally to destroy our republic on flat out steroids. And Satan, the devil, China, communists, totalitarians, Marxists, whatever name you want, it's all evil. They're attacking everything, undoing it. And we don't have very many statesmen, folks. And what I'm going to talk about today, where's our remedy? We're supposed to have constitutional courts, aren't we? That's what they said. That's what they tell us. That is a lie. And what I discovered, I could read now, and I'm just going to take Mooney's because his name is out there. We'll be going to this Supreme Court of the United States. It's the only Article 3 bona fide, full empowered Article 3 court. Because what I came across was something called specialized Article 3 courts. Specialized Article 3 courts. You ever hear that one before? I couldn't believe it. Because, see, I was confused because I read the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. I said, why do we need a Federal Circuit Court of Appeals if we have 11 other appellate courts? It's got to be something different about it. So I read the act. And it says anything that they do on taxation is good nationally because all of the other appellate courts are only good geographically. And it says so right in the text. They don't hide it. It's right there when they're making this, when these courts up. I said, this is strange. What's the deal here? Then I followed up of this part about the national, and it lasted 2 years in the code, and then they deleted it and replaced it. So the question becomes, how are you and me supposed to figure out where our constitutional courts are? I think that's a fair question. You think? I'm typing this in here. Just got home here from eating breakfast. But what they this is actually on the internet. The specialty Article 3 courts. That's absolutely unbelievable. Or specialized Article 3 court. Maybe specialized. I got to see here. I just.
Well, Ralph, while you're typing that in, this is Mark. When you say special, that just rang up the old Saturday Night Live church lady saying, isn't that special?
Right. Well, what they did is, and I want to give the background of this. I'm missing something here. Words here. There's a thing here. I got to. I saved that here for a thing I just got home here. But anyway, what they were doing, here's the overview. The problem that they ran into in 1913, there were no longer any citizens of the several states because the 17th Amendment did away with the legislatures of the several states electing senators of the United States. So in 1913, the real party of interest, the government, which, by the way, is in the Constitution of the United States twice, setting up the government of the United States, they went to the cases started United States of America in these district courts of the United States. They were still constitutional courts. And the problem that they've got is this federal question called a citizen of the United States. And back in 1875, they had to modify the Judiciary Act of 1879 because a citizen of the United States has no political rights, has no inalienable rights. It has civil rights, just like any corporate entity, any fiction in law. And a citizen of the United States is not a corporation. You take on the character of a citizen of the United States, like I've said before on this show, like the character of a tenant or a landlord. And then you sign up. Your name acts as a validation of taking on that character. So in the 1890s, the real constitutional appellate courts, circuit courts of the United States, they started the new circuit courts of the United States in the 1890s. In 1911, they did away with the Circuit Court of the United States, which was the appellate court, like the Ninth Circuit and all those. But what was interesting, the judicial power of this Circuit Court of the United States did not get transferred to the Circuit Court of Appeals. And I struggled with that for years. I filed it away, and now I know why. They transferred the judicial power of the United States to the lower court, District Court of the United States. That was the only constitutional court left, other than the Supreme Court of the United States from 1913. Then they got up to 1934, and they did away with the law and equity and said, I'll look that up here in a second. They just did away with it, and they created subsidy law. Now, wait a minute here. The Constitution of the United States is really explicit. It says in all cases, there's got to be a case or a controversy. Okay? And there's its law and equity. Just so. And we adopted the English common law. That's a fact. Only the federal courts have done that. And here's what they said. They did this thing. We're going to have all of the process, writs, pleadings, motions, and practice and proceedings in civil actions at law. And then they say, we're not going to modify, but we're going to have the substantive rights. And all laws in conflict therewith shall be of no further force and effect. Really? But they kept the right of trial by jury at common law. As inviolate, because I couldn't get rid of that. So what'd they just do? They flipped everything. Because we're all deemed to be citizens of the United States. We all sign up for it. We all volunteer for it. And we are deemed to be guilty until proven innocent. They flipped everything. This is the substantive law rights. Substantive rights. I don't have to prove. You're supposed to prove. You're supposed to have my secured rights, and you're supposed to bring forth the evidence. They did that in the civil, and this is 48 Stat 1064, 1934, June 19th. And then in 1940, they did the same thing for the criminal. Same verbiage. Everything else, the law is no good. In that world. And they were using United States District Court. But they made it official in 1948. Now, here's where it's really going to be interesting. Now that I have this specialized Article 3 court, or especially, I got to get the verbiage right here. I'll find that in a minute on a break. But what they did is, in 1948, it's under 28 U.S.C. 132. And that's when they changed things. And they created a whole new court called United States District Court. United States District Court in 1948. Now, the problem that they got is they tell us what they're doing. All we got to do is go look at it. And I knew I've found this other stuff that says it's in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. It's a legislative court, but I didn't find that in the Mooney's case until we were out of the, we're in the final throes of the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. But it's there. There is no getting around it. So, what does that tell us? Let me get around here and bring up I can quote it. This is exact verbiage out of 28 U.S.C. 132. Come on here, computer. Give me the screen here. I didn't have Word open here. So, what they did is, we'll have it open here in just a second. It says, what they did is, in this thing, what they're doing in this code, in this 132 section, C, They get around and they say it comes from the District of Hawaii. Now, you can't make this up. The District of Hawaii. How can that be? Because that is a territory. That doesn't come under Article 3 by any stretch of the imagination. So why is that? Why am I not getting my... having trouble here... getting my computer up here to where I can read what I want. Well, I'll go into Westlaw. Anyway, what it says is judicial power of the district court. Now, judicial power of a district court cannot equal judicial power of the United States. I was reading Cruz's One Vote Away book, where it talks about the same thing. Judicial power is something reserved to the government. To the government now. Okay? To the government. And then it says, of the United States. Well, that's the name of the government, right? So the question becomes, what the hell is the United States District Court? And I found two cases where it goes right in and tells us exactly what they're doing. It says that the judge represents the court, and the court is under the control of Congress. That sound like where you want to go, Mark?
No, I do not want to go into a courtroom where the judge is being controlled by Congress.
And what it says is, except as provided by law, and by law comes out of the 1947 Attorney General's opinion, that means everything. They changed the word from statute to by law so that they can include administrative decisions and all that. It says, or rule, so there's your rule stuff, there's your administrative nonsense, or order of the court. And it says the judicial power of the district court with respect to any action, suit, or proceeding. Does not say equity and common law, does it? Because it can't. So what they did is, in 1948, we no longer had any citizens of the United States that had enough. We're all there. We just don't know it. We all think we're citizens of the United States because it's been pounded into us. To get benefits and all this other Social Security card and everything is, we get used to saying, oh yeah, I'm a citizen of the United States, hand me some money, get a bank account, get a driver's license, all of it. So they get us trained. We're like little good little old slaves. But the problem becomes, so in 1953, they didn't have any true bona fide Article III court, so they made the Court of Claims a bona fide Article III court. Okay? And we had the Court of International Trade. Then in 1982, they said, you know, we don't really need a true Article III court, because they were limiting then what it took to get into it. It's supposed to be for the citizen. It's guaranteed because it was ordained and established. It appears twice in the Constitution of the United States, at the beginning and also in Article 3. They wanted to make damn sure that we have a remedy. If we don't have a constitutional court, we're screwed. We don't. Okay? So what they did in 1982, they said, well, you know, we're going to make the Court of Claims an Article 1, Section 8, but then we're going to say it can look like an Article 3, and the real party of interest has to be United States. Well, wait a minute. Either you is or you ain't. They did that in 1982. And then they did the same thing to the Court of International Trade and the Patent Court. And then they said, oh, let's see here. We need an appellate court. Okay, back.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Okay, we're back here, and these are they're called specialized Article 3 courts, and they're supposed to be taking care of very high volume issues to take the load off of a true bona fide Article 3 court. If you can believe that nonsense, I don't think so. That's what they're doing. And so what they do is, in 1982, they created the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, and then it's going to handle, it's a specialized appellate court that has national jurisdiction everywhere, of patent appeals and the Court of International Trade and the Court of Claims. Well, that leaves us with a real problem. I'm domiciled supposedly in Alaska, one of the several states. Of course, it's not. I mean, it's real easy to prove Alaska's smoke and mirrors nonsense beyond belief. But the thing is, they say that the specialized Article 3 court exercise judicial power in the United States. Isn't that special? Let me just do a word search here on that, because I found that I didn't have judicial power of the United States. Should have got here just a little earlier. But the problem is, if it's exercising the judicial power of the United States, as a specialized Article III court, that automatically excludes the United States District Court because it says it exercised judicial power of a district court. Boy, it gets a lot better. I got so much more on these guys now. Because you see, when you go to the United States District Court, I got two cases, says the judge represents the court and the court's under the plenary power of Congress. And they changed the name from United States to United States of America as the real party of interest. And boy, nobody wants to go there. But it gets so much better. Because, let me type in here, because you see, if you go read like in the Mooney's case on their civil action, first of all, the court's bogus, which we can now prove conclusively. Okay? But in the beginning of the Mooney's case on the civil, they usually cite 7401 as one of the authorities. What does that say? Well, guess what? Let me just type in 7401 and let's see if we happen to have a part 301 rec. Oh my gosh, the authorization to bring the suit is a part 301 rec. It says no civil action for the collection or recovery of taxes or any fine, penalty, or forfeit shall be commenced unless the director, the commissioner, or the director of alcohol, firearms, tobacco, with respect to the provisions subtitle E of the code, or the chief counsel for the Internal Revenue Service, who does he represent? Agencies, thank you, or his delegate authorizes and sanctions the proceeding, and the attorney general and his delegate directs the action to be commenced. We got a problem, folks, because they usually have 7401, and they usually have chief counsel because it is the IRS that's coming after us. So it's a 301 rec. It's all housekeeping, internal, have a nice life. Had nothing to do with you or me. Then they use 7403. Let me type that in. CFR, let's see here. CFR 301.7403. What does it say? Action to enforce a lien or subject property of payment in any case where there has been a refusal or neglect to pay any tax, to discharge any liability in respect thereof, whether or not a levy has been made, the attorney general, his delegate, and the request for the commissioner, blah, 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 and the chief counsel, blah, 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 may direct a civil action to be filed in a district court of the United States, not the United States District Court, District Court of the United States. Isn't that amazing? So we start off, their authority is a part 301 reg for all these jerks. And if you don't pay a tax to the IRS, it's a 301 reg, and they're both housekeeping. They got nothing to do with you or me. Supreme Court has said so. Chrysler v. Brown is the first case. It's housekeeping. It's all internal. What say ye, Mark?
Well, it's just amazing. It's amazing how they play with the words and swap things around. And, you know, what you're thinking is normal English is not what it means. And it's just amazing to me.
Here's the real simple overview. And I put this out in a brief, and I'm, let me turn my phone off here. Here's the real simple overview. You cannot beat these guys, the IRS. You can't beat agencies. I mean, there are exceptions, of course. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay. So what we have here, we're all deemed to be citizens of the United States. Can we prove that? Absolutely. We don't have any access to an Article III court. Can I prove that? Absolutely. In the District of Columbia, a qualified elector in the code, and the Supreme Court has says, if you're a citizen of the United States in D.C., you have no guaranteed right to an Article III court. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That's a citizen of the United States in D.C., and they're a qualified elector. So you got no right to a constitutional court. Oh, if I claim to be that status out here because of ignorance and whatever, I don't have a right to an Article III court, so we don't need any out here. Okay? That's how we prove that. But now I'll get back to the APA. There's only two things. Like I say, I spent a lot of time reading. I've read all this stuff, and I got just a little more. Here is the real big overview, the real simple. If it has general applicability or legal effect, and they have an exception for employees and all that, in the Federal Register Act, it shall be published in the Federal Register if you are an agency or a federal agency. And that includes the President of the United States. Because a federal agency means President of the United States. He is operating in that world for executive orders. Same thing. So if it's going to have general applicability and legal effect, it shall be published in the Federal Register. And if not so published, they say, we're done. If it's not there, we don't got to worry about it. If it's not there, it's over with. Okay? And that's in the Federal Register Act, by the way. So, and then the third thing, so number one, if it's any agency, which is what we're up against today, or executive order, it shall be published in the Federal Register if it has general applicability or legal effect. And if it says no document required under general applicability and legal effect to be published in the Federal Register shall be valid against any person who has not had actual knowledge thereof. Okay? And that's published in the Federal Register. And it's in the Federal Register Act. So the first thing is, are they an agency or federal agency? Absolutely. IRS, all these people. Number two, did they publish it in the Federal Register? Yes or no? If it's not there, we're done. And they put the statute in the part of the CFR, like 7401. They have to identify the statute number in the heading. So it's like 26 CFR 301.7401. They have to put the statute number. Now, if you go down to the bottom and look at the authority... They will usually say 7805. Ignore all that nonsense. 7805 is a general power that they can't do because that would be transferring all of the legislative power to the agency. The thing that you look at next, you go look at the bottom. So we start off, is it an agency? Yes. Did they publish something in the Federal Register under 7401? They did. And it's a part 301. Now, we don't even have to go any farther because the Supreme Court has set any 301 reg as housekeeping. But let's go a little farther so we can debunk any and every regulation, all these ATF, all this nonsense about guns and all this other stuff. They don't pass because they can't, because we don't have a constitutional government. It's there, but there ain't nobody home. So, number one, is it an agency? Did they publish in the Federal Register? Yes or no? And the third one is, it's mandated that everybody has to take judicial notice. That's what the Federal Register does. So it's got to be an agency. General applicability, legal effect, it's got to be there. If it's not there, we're done. And if it is, they have to take judicial notice. Now, the only other two things that has to be done is the APA. Because they publish everything in the Federal Register, from the kitchen sink to whatever. So the question becomes, what has application to us? And the predicate is called an informal or formal. The formal, it has to say it's in compliance in the codified APA of 553 little b. You'll never see one of those. They're not going to do one. They are not going to do the publication because they can't do them. So they hide behind the, and they have to do a proposed rule and a final rule. They have to do it twice. They do a lot of them just one time, so you can rule that out. If it's not a proposed rule and a final rule, we're done. But the key is, they will say it's impractical, it's unnecessary, or contrary to the public interest. That's what you will find. Or they will make no reference to 553B, so you can throw that away. Or they will use one of those, impractical or unnecessary or contrary to the public. They have to say the key is, when they use impractical, unnecessary, or contrary to the public interest, they have to incorporate a finding and brief statement of the reasons thereof for the rules issued that it is. And that's called the emergency. They have to state the emergency in the Federal Register. Why are you bypassing the formal way of making rules and regulations? They never state the emergency because they can't. And that's out of the, it's also in the court, but it's also in the Senate report. 752, which is a very important. It goes along with the APA, and it also says you can't modify in this dang thing unless you have a very good reason of the Administrative Procedures Act. They also say that. So let's go back in summary. One is an agency. Yes. Did it publish in the Federal Register? Yes or no? But as general applicability and legal effect, it has to be. They can also publish garbage, but that's all right. But if it's there, they have to take judicial notice. So one, is it an agency? Two, did they publish it in the Federal Register? And three, they have to take judicial notice. Now, the only thing to find out is, what kind of nonsense is it? What kind of a regulation is it? Is it called a subsidy, regulation, or legislative rule? And that's the only one that has force and effect of law. And the only way you arrive at that, it has to go along with 553B. And if they do the formal, which you'll never see, they do the informal, they will say impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest. They also have to state the emergency. They can't get around it. Why are you bypassing the emergency or the formal way of doing it? They will never do it because they can't. Now, there's one other issue that blows all executive orders, and it has also the same thing to all agencies. When you look at an executive order, unless it's under a national emergency, that's another whole thing which I'm going to research out to find out what are the criteria to do a national emergency, which they have done. Trump did it to get the wall built on financing, and that's what Biden undid. But the president and all agencies have to have a limited, directed authority from a law of the United States, from Congress. So if old Biden's going to get around and he says, I'm going to make an executive order on masks, he has to have a congressional law of the United States where Congress says the executive can make executive orders to do with masks. And the same thing is also true of the CDC, which they don't have. I already put that out. It's all nonsense. And it says so in some of the stuff. It says it's an interpretive reg. They're interpreting something. I don't get careless what they interpret. Who cares what those idiots in D.C. interpret? It has no application. Or it's a housekeeping regulation, which means it's for internal use only, for trying to educate those idiots up there. It's irrelevant. That's it. That's all there is. That's the big overview of the whole con of the Administrative Procedures Act. It's so important, and I'm going to put this into a one line. Like I say, there's some other nuances that just help it, but you don't need them. It's just you got to establish, is it an agency? Yes. Did it publish in the Federal Register? Yes or no? If it did, then the next thing is they have to take judicial notice. Now we're done with the APA, with the Federal Register Act. We only got to do two things. Is it a formal or informal regulation having a force and effect of law? And there is a procedure to do it. Now, what I also found out in researching all this out, which I didn't understand, which I have put in a couple of cases, what they were doing was arbitrary, capricious, and without blah, not according to bylaw or something, which is, that's not the way to go about exposing it. I found a case that said, wait a minute, that's not the problem. It isn't the merits of what's in the regulation. It's that they didn't follow the procedure to make it a subsidy regulation. And that's in 5 U.S.C. 7062D, is in Delta. They didn't follow the procedure. That's the same thing as, do I attack this voter registration thing in Congress right now? Do I attack now the text in it, which is the merit, no, I have to attack the procedure before I can attack what's in the merits of the case. First of all, it's got to be passed by both House and Senate and signed by Comrade Biden. Or vetoed and overruled. I missed that part. And they have made it very difficult. It's like an Indiana Jones movie. If you watch one, he steps on a stone, and he's going to step on a stone here, and if you make a wrong thing, they don't tell you this stuff. How do we know? They always say for good cause. I am so tired of seeing that in these regulations. Oh, for good cause, we're not doing 553B because it's impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest. And it even gets worse when you look up, what in the heck are they talking about? Why would you use that? What's the purpose of impractical, unnecessary, or not according to the public interest? Well, guess what? It says so right in the Senate report, and it's in the court cases, if you know what to look for. What makes something impractical? Impractical means a situation in which the due and required execution of an agency functions would be unavoidably prevented by its undertaking public rulemaking procedures. What does that mean to you, Mark? Let me read it again. Impractical means a situation in which the due and required execution of an agency functions, here's the key, would be unavoidably prevented by its undertaking public rulemaking procedures.
Well, it makes it sound like there'd be some type of emergency and there wouldn't be time for them to go through the normal procedures to pass a rule or regulation.
No, they're blocking it. It's unavoidably prevented. Unavoidably prevented. They're preventing it.
So by what?
Because if it goes public, we'd say, wait a minute, you don't have any authority to do this. Where's your authority? We would prevent them from making the regulation. Then we go to unnecessary. It says here, as so far as the public is concerned, would be in case of a minor or merely a technical amendment in which the public is not particularly interested or involved. Wait a minute here. So we got a bill that I'm not involved with in Congress, but just because it didn't affect me, well, then you can just go ahead and do it? I don't think so. And then the public interest requires the public rulemaking procedures shall not prevent any agency from operating, and that, on the other hand, lack of public interest is rulemaking warrants the agency dispense with public procedure. Shall not prevent an agency from operating. Is that pretty clear?
That's what clear to me.
We would prevent it from operating. How about those apples?
It just blows my mind. It really does. When you think about how many lives have been destroyed by these agencies and their regulations, and they don't even have the full force and effect of law.
I got to find here. It's also, we're going to go to break here and I'll find. Do you know what attorney for the government is?
Can't say that I do.
Can't say that I did either. I'm going to go look it up here. Let's see here. I didn't get back in time to put this together, so it'll be just a second here to see if I got this under where I put this. It should be 28 USC, I think it's 503B. I will find out here when we go to break. But it's attorney for the government. And see, that's one of the things we tried to find in Moody. Are you counsel for the United States of America, or are you counsel for the United States? Because we had a case, criminal case, where Kirkendall went to the federal circuit and is counsel for the United States. The same attorney, the same criminal charge, went back to the Fifth Circuit, and he was counsel for the United States of America. Now, wait a minute here. Is it United States of America or United States? You can't be moving, changing these words around. Words have meaning. They used to. I'm going to, after we get through the break here, it's going to get more interesting yet, because these guys have backed themselves into a major corner. And it's under 28 U.S.C. Section 530B, capital B. Okay? Back in a minute.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Well, this is going to be fun, because the Attorney General, 528 U.S.C. 530 capital B, it says in quotation mark, the term attorney for the government includes anything described in section 77.2. That's the APA. That's the Federal Register stuff. So we go there. And now we have, at the bottom of that, they described everybody from the FBI to everybody in the kitchen sink. And they describe two Federal Registers. Okay? Well, quite interestingly enough, if you go to those, let me bring up the first one here. This is the Department of Justice, Federal Register. And it's talked about the pardon attorney, blah, 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 blah. And it goes into all this nonsense. And you go down to the bottom line is, we got a problem here. Because neither one of these have the force and effect of law, the two that they quote. Now what am I going to do? What do I do? Let me pull up the second one here. Let's see here. I think it says Homeland Security Act, blah, blah, all this nonsense. And down here to the bottom, one of these, says 5 USC 301. So that's the authority section. It says authority, 5 USC 301. It's a housekeeping rig. They admit it. It doesn't have the force effect of law. Either one of those for the attorneys or the government, the two Federal Registers that they quote, neither one of them passed muster. Now what do we do? They don't have any authority to do any of this. It's all nonsense.
Wouldn't it be a motion to dismiss? I mean, I'm assuming that they're pulling you into some type of administrative court to try to prosecute you.
Right, because they're in the United States District Court as an administrative court.
Well, before you even get there, I mean, they're going to pull you through some type of administrative process. And it seems like that would be, you know, the place to try to end it before you end up having to get into a district court.
Well, the thing is, you're dealing with the IRS, and I'm going to put this together so we can go to the area district director with all this stuff and say, you know what? You ain't got no clothes. The emperor has no clothes. Now, you got 6 months to tell me no, or if we can sue you for up to $1 million. That's your nonsense.
Ah, okay.
But when they file against you, criminally or civil, you got to defend yourself. So the 7401 is the authority. That's a 301 reg. And because you didn't pay the agency, that's a 301 reg. Both housekeeping. So I'm sorry, but they don't have any force and effect on me. Supreme Court said so. We're done. But now, are you an attorney for the government? Well, guess what? That's a 301 too. I don't give a rat's rump. Go pound on somebody else, not me. Would you believe what I just went through today?
What did you go through today?
Oh, what, this overview. Does this sound like what they tell us what's going on?
Well, no, it didn't tell. No. No, they want you to think that they got all almighty power over you. It's almost like the Wizard of Oz and pulling back the curtain, and you got the little munchkin standing back there saying that he controls you.
It is. Back in a minute.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your